You know, it's interesting, in our second lesson today in Romans, we hear about, if you will, the faith of our fathers in Father Abraham. And it's interesting, God spoke to him at 99 years old. You know, this past week on Wednesday, Billy Graham passed away on Wednesday at 99 years old. And the next day we were reading the scripture in at Marbella. We have a monthly Eucharist, and we read about Moses being 99 years old, and he was just receiving the promise of God that he was going to be the father of many nations. So we thought that was really interesting, just the timing of all of that. But it's interesting in this scripture, it says that he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God, being fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. And what God had promised to Abraham was nothing less than a miracle. Again, as was so beautifully read, he was as good as dead. That doesn't say a lot about a pregnancy coming on and having kids and things like that. He was as good as dead. And so God wanted there to be no mistake that this promised child was going to be birthed by the miracle of God. It's interesting, this past Saturday I received a mailing. At the top it's entitled, Miracles Happen. It's actually from Joan Hunter. She's going to be here this coming weekend. And I was just stirred by this scripture today and by the reality of what I believe God is doing in our midst, and that is works of miracles, if we are open to them. And in here, it's a mailing she did to this area. She's inviting people to the healing service, which is free this Friday night from about 7 to 10, great worship and time for healing. But my question to you is, what are you believing God for this year? And some of you immediately are, if you're honest, you're answering, I'm not believing God for anything this year. You need to start believing God for something this year. And may I suggest, begin to believe God for a miracle in your life. Begin to believe God for a miracle in the lives of people that are around you. That is the faith of our fathers and our mothers. They believed God's word to them and that God was mighty and able to do things that were humanly impossible. But it wasn't about what was humanly impossible. It was about what God promised to do through them. And so if you are in need of a healing touch by God in any way in your body, I know I am. And there's some people I'm going to encourage to come Friday night at 7 p.m. for God's healing touch. You may have some people in your life that are struggling with addiction that your family needs a breakthrough. Maybe there's depression. Maybe there's any one of a number of things. But whatever it might be, why not come this Friday night at 7 p.m. and join us and believe God for a miracle in your life or in the lives of the people that you love? I'll leave you with one other note on this. Joan Hunter actually was on the Sid Roth show. Sid Roth has a Christian show, has had people from all over the world on it. And he has said of Joan Hunter that never has there been someone on his show where more miracles have happened than Joan Hunter. One of the things God spoke to me at the beginning of this year, I think it was the beginning or the end of last year, was that this would be a year of miracles. It's the first time God ever spoke that to me. And I'm sharing that with you in faith today because I believe I'm supposed to. And I want to encourage you again this coming year to believe God for miracles in your lives and the miracles of those around you. Some of you are saying, well, Father Joe, I already believe God for that. Well, you know what? We could all use a little filling of the tank. And I'm believing this coming Friday and Saturday and Sunday, but especially Friday night, Joan Hunter, through God's grace and power, is going to fill some tanks and miracles are going to break out. So I want to invite you along with me to be here and expect God to do some mighty things. Believe God this year for miracles in your life and in the lives of those that you love. Along this line, as you know, I've been doing a series on the spirituality of caregiving. And one of the miracles that Henry Nouwen speaks about, I believe, as he's on his journey learning about caregiving, is the miracle of compassion. That you and I, more and more as we grow in the Christian life, would actually receive the grace of God and the miracle of God to more be deeply moved in the spirit of compassion in a way that is miraculous, in a way that is life-changing for our lives and the lives of those that are around us. To that end, I want to share with you little Beatitudes that were written for Friends of the Aged by Esther Walker. She shares, "Blessed are they who understand my faltering steps and shaking hand. Blessed are they who know that my ears today must strain to catch the words they say. Blessed are they who seem to know that my eyes are dim and my reaction slow. Blessed are they who look away when my coffee gets spilled during the day. Blessed are they with a cheery smile who stop to chat with me for a while. Blessed are they who never say, "You've told that story twice today." That number seems kind of low, by the way. Blessed are they who know the ways to bring back lovely yesterdays. Blessed are they who make it known that I'm loved, respected, and not alone. Blessed are those who know the loss of strength I need to bear my cross. Blessed are those who ease the days of my journey home in loving ways. Beautiful, beautiful set of Beatitudes that our Lord inspired this sister to share with each one of us. Again, the power of compassion through your life and my life in the lives of other people is incredible and life-changing and gives them hope. Henry Nouwen in his work continues to come back to a scripture in Luke 6:36, be compassionate as your heavenly Father is compassionate. As I've shared with you, this reading, this verse comes at the end of a whole part of the scripture where Jesus is talking about loving your enemies. Again, this scripture, this teaching of Jesus is as revolutionary today as it was the moment that Jesus spoke it. For you and I to be able to walk in love toward our enemies, toward those who treat us maliciously, toward those who steal from us, to those who strike us on the cheek, either literally or figuratively, to walk in love and compassion toward them is not a human thing, it is a divine thing. And yet Jesus calls us to walk in this kind of mercy and compassion, especially toward our enemies, because he says, what good is it for you to love those who love you? Even the pagans do that. What good is it for you to give to those who give to you? Even the pagans do that. And his challenge to us as believers now and in that day was to walk in the love of the Father, who is loving toward everyone, who reigns on the just and the wicked, just as he does on the righteous. Again, our love, the Father's love, is literally out of this world. And it's the kind of love he's inviting us into. He began to develop a conviction over time, Henry Nouwen, that after years of ministry, that it's through compassion that we grow into the fullness as God's beloved children. He goes on to share, as the call to compassion slowly revealed itself as the center of the Christian life, the thought of moving away from ministry increasingly appeared to me to be a refusal to face directly the radical challenge of my faith. Compassion is a radical call that requires the total conversion of heart and mind. And you know, we've begun to already reflect on this, haven't we, earlier in some of my messages, and that is often when we are faced with a caregiving situation that is challenging, or maybe we're faced with a person that is challenging in our life, one of the things we want to do is we want to leave. And often as human beings, we want to leave exactly at the moment where it's most important for us to stay. We're at that moment where we're about to experience a divine breakthrough when we're feeling like we can't go on. And the reality is you can't go on in your own strength, but you only can continue in God's strength. And again, it's at that moment you and I need to bend the knee. We need to submit to where we are. We need to surrender to God's compassionate grace and presence and just simply pray to him for the ability to stay, just to stay where we are and to abide there and to receive of him the compassion that he so richly desires to give. You know, for Henry Nouwen, who was and is a great theologian, who has studied these things and learned these things and wrote about these things during his life, for him to come to the conclusion that compassion was the centerpiece of the Christian life is huge. It's a huge revelation. And it's very important for you and I to hear that teaching and to receive that teaching and begin to consider the reality that if Henry Nouwen is correct, one of the most important things that you and I can do in our spiritual journey is grow in the fruit and the virtue of compassionate love. What are some of the characteristics of this compassionate love in caring for others and living out our life? Well, one is mutuality and joy. Both those who care and receive care mutually give to one another. And there's also a profound meeting of broken humanity that releases joy. And so this idea of mutuality is the idea that not only do I come to give something to you, but in the very act of giving to you, in some way, shape, or form, I am receiving something as well. And it's important for you and I that are involved in caregiving situations, especially where we have the idea that we're coming to give something to somebody, that we would be open to what they have to give to us, whatever it might be. Maybe they're in tears for the 10th time, and the invitation is to have patience and simply be with them. Maybe it is hearing the story for the 3rd time and not correcting them, but simply patiently listening and maybe laying a hand on them and praying for them. But there's this sense of mutuality. It might be a smile. That might be all they can give you at that moment, is just a smile of appreciation for what you're doing for them. And receiving that and being touched by that, that's the spirit of mutuality. And it's always there. I have always had the experience that when I've gone to minister to somebody, they have always given something back to me. It's just a matter, am I perceiving it? And that's part of the place where I think caregiving breaks down for us, is we go with the mentality of give, 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 but we aren't open to the moments of receiving from them and receiving from the moment. And there's ministry in that to you. The Holy Spirit is reaching out to you in that moment and ministering to your heart and wanting to give you grace, but you and I aren't receiving it. And that's one of the reasons why you're feeling so burned out. Another reality of this compassionate giving is joy, a release of joy. In the most mundane situations, in the most tragic moments, in the moments of tear and struggles, you will at times find a release of joy. Not the emotion of happiness, not a fleeting feeling of joy, but a gift of the Holy Spirit. It says one of the fruits of the Spirit is joy. It's a gift from God. And what I found is that when that joy comes, it comes at the most unpredictable moments. It comes at moments that I would not feel joyful. And that's when I know it's from God. I start to smile. They start to smile. Do you remember when you did this? Right? Do you remember when you did that crazy thing? And you just start to laugh. You just start to smile. And there's that joy. And there's energy in that joy. The joy of the Lord is my strength. And the reason why that scripture says that is because it's true. We need to continue to tap into the joy of the Lord, which is our strength. Compassion also leads to discernment and self-awareness. Caregivers have a life and need to discern the balance between living and caregiving. You know as well as I do that when you're giving care to somebody, you still have a life. You need to rest. You need to eat. There's laundry to do. There are bills to pay. You have all that other stuff you still got to do in addition to the caregiving. And the reality is with caregiving, with compassionate love, there is a discerning and an awareness that can grow. And you need to exercise that. You need to walk in that. It's incredibly, incredibly important. Also, one may want to help a family member or friend in need, but not for the rest of their lives. Realize that you may be in a situation where you can give care for a brief period of time, but they need you to bring some in-home care or maybe get them into an assisted living space. That is not bad. Consider all of your options. Pray about them. Get counsel from people that are around you. In a multitude of counselors, there is wisdom. These are all very important things to discuss and pray about and think through, and then come to the best decision that you can. These are all very difficult decisions. We all know the arguments. I'm not giving up my driver's license. I'm not going to go into that place. I'm staying in my house. Ain't going to do that, right? Oh, we know. I've heard them all. Some I can't tell you about. And we want, as much as we can, to foster independence. But we also want safety. Safety for them and safety for us. Very important. One of the other realities is that trust is not automatically given by one who needs care. As Anne, who's a friend of Henry Nouwen, who's paraplegic, noted, "My own vulnerabilities are not so trustingly offered." And so as you care for a friend or maybe even care for a family member, you may be caring for them in very intimate ways. And that's what caregiving is. You're doing things for them that they used to be able to do for themselves. But even as you do that, there are parts of their heart they may not want to share with you. And you may be hurt by that. You may say, my gosh, look at what I'm doing for you. Why won't you share that with me? Well, when they're ready, if they're ready. And again, one of the things you and I need to do in caregiving for somebody and in compassionately loving them is honor their privacy. That might be the only thing they have left. And to honor that and love them and care for them right where they are. Another gift we can give in compassionate caregiving is listening. Henry Nouwen's definition of listening in this book, I love it. Two lives coming together in a healing way. Two lives coming together in a healing way. If you're caregiving in that way, you're moving in the right direction. Hearing, words, gestures, smiles, touch, tears. These are all ways of communicating. And listening is one of the greatest gifts we can give to anybody on the planet. I am firmly convinced that listening is the one thing that most people do not do. Let me share a little thought with you. If you are thinking about what you're going to say when somebody is speaking to you, you are not listening. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands because I know how that'll go. All right? But one of the greatest gifts we can give to another person is actually to listen to what they're going to say. You may already know what they're going to say. You already know where they're going. You can complete their sentence, especially you married couples, right? Yeah, you know. You know where that dog's going. You know exactly what's going to happen. But the gift of listening is the gift of simply letting that other human being know that they've been heard for the fourth or the fifth or the sixth time. And maybe that's exactly what they need. If you are a human being that actually listens to another human being, you are rare. You're rare. And it's a wonderful gift. And people know when they're receiving it. And they're deeply touched by it because it's so rarely experienced. Empathy and care is another gift. Empathy realizes those in need might be embarrassed by their weakness and need for help, have a sorrow in waiting for someone to do something they used to do for themselves. And sometimes they have to wait a long time, don't they? And sometimes humiliated when a stranger or family member enters their intimate, physical, or private space. Ever been in the hospital and you weren't able to do some of the things you did at home? And you had to have that nurse's aide or that nurse or whoever, the aide, help you to do those things? That is downright embarrassing, right? Boy, I can't get out of this hospital room fast enough, right? And yet you need that help. You need that care. What a wonderful gift they're giving to you in that. You know, and the spirit with which many of them do it is really a beautiful spirit. I mean, for the most part, you get some grumpy people, but you get them all over the place. But for the most part, a beautiful spirit. And so again, there's this sense of having empathy and care for the people that are in need of your caregiving. Realize that as you and I enter the intimate spaces of another human being, they have feelings about that. They're human, just like you and I would have feelings about it as well. And it's important that we be gentle about that, empathetic and caring about that, and communicate that to them, whoever they might be. People who are caregivers enter the fellowship of weakness. Jesus shared, "You must love one another just as I have loved you. It's by your love for one another that everyone will recognize you as my disciples." Nouwen shares that as persons we sound through a love greater than we ourselves can grasp, a truth deeper than we ourselves can articulate, and a beauty richer than we ourselves can contain. So the truth is, as you and I enter more deeply into this compassionate caregiving and are open to the Holy Spirit's guiding and leading us in that, we actually not only have a human encounter, but but we can have a divine encounter as well. A divine encounter between us as human beings, maybe in prayer and reading the scripture together, a sense of divine presence in the room and God being with us. And what's important for you and I is to make room for those moments. I think one of the things that gets in the way of our caregiving is we're so busy, we're so rushed, we want to get through it. And God is often just 1 or 2 seconds beyond your schedule. God wants to interrupt your schedule in your caregiving and show up and administer grace, reveal his spirit, have a tender moment of tears or laughter, have a sense of his presence and strength that you can go on together. You and I need to embrace this, again, to come back to the well of the Holy Spirit, to drink deep of that well, to be connected to that well, and to be rejuvenated by that well, not only ourselves, but the people that we care for. And you see, that is a miracle. That is God's love in action. That is God's love moving through me and through you.